Welcome, everybody, and welcome back to Dark Sunsets, JR.
What is good, J-Rob?
How you doing, man? I've been obviously MIA because we haven't been releasing any new episodes in the past 2 weeks, so that's all on your boy.
Well, you know, you are a rolling stone of business, so you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to go handle that when work makes you go to different states to go do that, you know, but you get experience, you know, all those new places and get some barbecue at... if you go to the right place.
But I don't look any bigger. Like, I haven't put any pounds on. So I go to these places like Austin and Nashville where they have comfort food and fat people food. But look at me, bro. I'm still toothpicking it.
You're like, I mean, it's like a high-level athlete. You know, like Michael Phelps used to eat, like, you know, I think he had like an 8,000 or
yeah.
9,000, like, calorie diet per day.
Right. And look at him.
Yeah, he wouldn't gain anything just because he's burning it all off. So you're basically... the Michael Phelps
of
business.
I mean, officially, this is the Michael Phelps of podcasting. I'd like to say thank you, everybody. But no, we're back. We have an action-packed episode, but we wanted to obviously to say thanks to everybody for muscling through like the first 10 episodes. We've been getting a lot of great feedback on those episodes. Now we're just fully ramping into episode 11. So we made it, man.
Yeah, it's been a ride and it's been fun. Koozies will be on the way. And, you know, of course, we got to get our tug plug spot. So shout out to Guacamole. You know, David Rosales is doing it big. And if you need to check him out, go to guacamoletacos.com.
I mean, this guy is so legendary. Like, now you just introduced me to his first and last name. I feel like when I meet him, I'm going to be like, I already know him, but I've never met him before.
You'll be speechless. Yeah, nice to meet you. You know,
are you the David Guacamole? Is like, that you?
David from Guacamole. Yeah, but not... So it's been good. We got to episode 11 finally. I'm glad you're back in town so we can, you know, catch back up and whatnot. But yeah, just to get things popping, you know, I'm a big Apple person. You know, I love, you know, having my iPhone and my Apple Watch and whatnot. And so just to start off to give you guys a quick update, iOS 13 is on the horizon. And, you know, the code name for iOS 13 is going to be UConn. But these features that are coming out with this new iOS should actually open up you guys' eyes, and I think you guys will like it. So I think there's about four big features that's coming on, you know, with this new iOS. One of them is going to be a dark mode.
I saw that.
It's going to make it easier for you to be able to use your iPhone at night.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, while using your iPhone, there is a law that's just passed in Florida where you're not supposed to text while driving, or police can actually pull you over.
They can.
And give you a ticket. So that's just like a little side note for you all that's listening. Like, so don't text and drive. I think it doesn't kick in for about another month, but they'll be watching. But then back to the iOS. So you got your dark mode. It'll make it easier to use at night. There's also this popular feature called, I think they're going to call it, it'll be like the Google swipe keyboard, mm-hmm. where when you're trying to type, you can swipe from, you know, letter to letter, and it'll fill out your words for you.
Yeah.
So instead of you having to use like a janky third-party app or something that can like snatch your data, they're going to be bringing that to iOS, you know, keyboards built in automatically.
And I think that's really going to take over. I mean, I saw the statistic while I was traveling and going to these conferences, like almost, I think it's by like 2020, almost over 50% of search is going to be through voice search.
Yeah.
And incorporating that where it's less having to like use the device in order to search for stuff. So it's interesting how that's going to really just pivot and change it.
Yeah, I mean, I use Siri as like my personal assistant. So I can't actually say the phrase, like you'll say, hey, and then you'll say Siri also. But if you say it together, my phone will kick in. But
yeah,
you say it and then, you know, she can search. I'm like, hey, when's the, you know, what channel is the NBA playoff game on? And she'll tell me, you know, so it's like, schedule this event. You know, so that is definitely another good feature. This feature, actually, that I'm about to tell you, I'm actually a big fan of because I already accused certain people of not being able to listen. And in hindsight, I thought about it and I was like, the reason why you guys can't listen as well is because you play your music so loud.
Yep.
So this feature that they have that's coming out, it's called like Hearing Health, I believe is the title of it, where it's basically a feature that'll track how loudly you're playing your music. And then it'll also give you suggestions on volume level to help like save your hearing health overall.
Yeah, I think that's a great feature because I listen to my music way too loud, but I would not know that. And I've probably over time just listened to so much loud music that I have to continuously listen to it louder and louder
to make sure you still hear it.
Exactly, because my tolerance from a hearing perspective has just hit an all-time high, which also means I'm not going to be able to listen to anybody at 50. I'm gonna need a hearing piece definitely by 50 years old.
Well, yeah, I think that's probably I like that a lot too, because I mean when I go to the gym probably like 4 to 5 times a week.
Yeah.
Just to stay healthy and whatnot. But you know, I have my Beats headphones in, you know, my Power Beats or whatever, and you know, I try to maintain a certain level just because, you know, sometimes like you can hear it's like, oh, that's like way too loud or whatever. But I always try to make sure that I don't, overplay, because I don't want to be like 60 and not hearing anything.
Yeah.
Or like have a hearing aid in.
And then I'm sure you've seen people as well, like who listen to music so loud with their headphones that you can like hear it from their headphones.
Yes, and it's on their head.
You're like, there's no way you're going to last until 40 years old with any being able to hear it all.
And it's probably terrible that you probably hate having a conversation with that person also, just because it's like, oh, they can't hear anything, you know.
You literally have to yell. And there was definitely one feature that really stood out to me as well, as you're talking about this new feature that I wanted to get your feedback on, called sleep tracking.
Okay.
Which, I mean, this is such an interesting one. So Apple Watch users will likely have to wait another year before Apple adds native sleep tracking functionality to the iOS.
Okay.
But for this feature, there is actual a ability to be able to track your sleeping patterns and habits, which is interesting. So, I mean, I guess I would look at that data, but it's interesting to see how much time you are in bed, how much time you're spending sleeping, asleep. It's interesting. And what are they using that data for? I mean, obviously you're looking at it from a personal perspective to make sure.
Like you're okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Health-wise, you want to get at least, you know, I think it's like anywhere between at least 6 hours of sleep. But where is this data going? Who's utilizing it? Is it going to the Casper mattresses of the world and all these other companies? You just bought a bed.
Well, it's like all those different companies that have these like features, you know. And just to like touch on this real fast, like the 23andMe and all the ancestry stuff. Like, I've never done it just because I don't know what, like, yeah, they'll give me my data, like, oh, what I'm related to or whatever. But I don't know where that end data goes to and what they're using that for. Like, because they're obviously it's going someplace. So, like the sleep cycle one, there was an app called Sleep Cycle that did something similar. But all these apps that, compile all this data and whatnot, it's like it's cool to have, but you know, you also have to be kind of cautious and cognizant of what they're actually doing with it on the back end. But if you are a person that has trouble sleeping, it's definitely good to probably at least, you know, get a small sample size, see what's going on, because at least if you're not getting your REM sleep or you're not, you know, getting good sleep habits, at least if it can help you or you can get deep sleep, then you'll be a healthier person. So
yeah, absolutely. We're definitely excited on the whole new features of the new iOS that's dropping. And then as we were just talking about, hopefully the new Apple credit card comes out sooner than later so we can flex all summer long.
Yeah, that'll be tight. I'm excited for that still. And yeah, that was from the previous episode. So, I mean, Apple's doing it big. Just keep your eyes out for the new iOS, and if you don't have an iPhone, Nikki, make sure you go and get it, Nick P.
I mean, and Nick P for sure. So for the longest time, for the last like 2 years, I had a Google Pixel, and I mean, if I was to count how many friends I have versus how many friends I lost during that Android phase, I would say I came out positive transitioning to an iPhone.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you got to see the blue message.
Appreciate it, Steve Jobs. Yeah, thank you very much.
So yeah, so just to touch on the next topic, you know, just with the new, we got new updates and services coming out, whatnot. Disney is now, for all you guys that like to stream, you know, shows, all you Netflix and chillers, you binge watchers, you know, you series watchers, Disney is coming out with a streaming service called Disney Plus. And so they announced it, and starting on December, December 11th, but I think it's going to debut actually November 12th.
So, I see that too. Yep. Disney Plus will launch on November 12th. Yep. Okay.
So on November 12th, it's going to launch. And the biggest thing with this Disney Plus is people don't realize how many titles Disney actually owns. So, you know, you think about like, you know, all the Marvel, like the Avengers, you think about all the classics, like the, you know, Lion Kings and the Aladdin.
Of course.
That stuff. All that is under Disney's rights. So the biggest movie that's going to really like push this streaming service up to the next level is the Avengers Endgame movie. because the Avengers Endgame movie is going to be exclusively streamed on Disney Plus.
So what does that mean? So let's say when it finally does come out on, you know, your iTunes or where you can purchase it, you only would have the ability to go to receive that film from a streaming perspective on Disney Plus.
Right. Like, so you can purchase it digitally. Like, so, you know, if you were just going to purchase it through your iTunes, you can purchase, you know, the movie.
Right.
But if you wanted to actually just stream it, like if it was like, you know, if you went to Netflix, it's not going to be on there. If you went to Amazon, you know, Prime, the streaming service, it's not going to be on there. So you actually would have to go to the Disney service in order to do that. And so they're kind of making this push with Avengers Endgame because, you know, the movie Avengers Endgame, obviously the biggest Marvel, you know, movie. It's already grossed.
Didn't it surpass over a billion?
Yeah, I think at least right now it's over probably like 2.5 billion. And like it's close.
And it's just under Avatar, right? Isn't Avatar still the leading one of all time?
Avatar is the leading one of all time, but I'm not sure how much longer it will be.
Seriously.
Because when the initial numbers came out for this Avengers Endgame movie, it was only the U.S. markets, and then they had started rolling it out to, you know, some of the international markets.
Yeah.
So, you know, I saw the movie, it opened on a Thursday. I saw it the next day, so I saw it on a Friday. I was like, oh, that's a tight movie. Like,
did you use the P app that we talked about in the previous episode?
I just, like a boss, I just held it. Like, you know,
I wanted to reach out and text you when you went to go see the movie. Did you see anybody else pull their phone out as well and be like, oh, I'm good to go. This 3-hour movie, I know I can take a piss right now because the app has told me so.
Because I wasn't necessarily like looking around, but, you know, because I got the AMC Stubbs A-list. So, you know, that's like the monthly.
Miami Foghorn.
But yeah, you pay like $20 a month pretty much, and you can see up to 3 movies per week, any format, you know, nonstop. So, you know, of course, after I saw the movie, I was like, all right, well, let me go, you know, check it again or whatever. Well, not to lose the train of thought, I didn't see anybody go pee. But when I wanted to go see this Avengers Endgame movie again, I went and peeped. It was sold out. So it was like,
wow.
You know, or there'd be like a seat in the very, very front.
Yeah.
So this movie is going to make so much money where they're going to leave it in the theaters for as long as they can.
It makes sense too.
Yeah. And yeah. So we're in May right now. Like a couple months, you know, normally it'll take about like 4 months, 3 months for it to hit like the digital rental stage.
Yep.
They might leave this thing in theaters for like, you know, an additional 2-3 months and then just, once it's ready, then, you know, put it out with this Disney Plus.
Yeah, and it's crazy. After you told me that, I mean, I looked at, let's say, just other movies that were playing in other theaters when I was traveling, and almost 60 to 70% of the actual theaters inside of a movie theater, 60 if not 70% of those were playing this movie in those time slots.
Yeah.
Only other movies would have like maybe 1 or 2 time slots because Avengers Endgame was taking over such by storm.
Like, so I saw it in, so AMC has the signature recliners, and if you go to like the right AMC theater, they have these real nice recliners. It's almost like a zero gravity type of situation.
Yeah. ZG?
A little ZG, you know. If you don't know ZG, then it's just too expensive for y'all.
Episode 11, ZG.
But yeah, so it's like they have like the, you know, like the Dolby, and then they have the IMAX, and then they have the, you know, 3D.
Do you remember the rock chairs that they used to have, or like the D-Box chairs?
Yeah, D-Box, yeah.
Yeah.
The D-Box is straight. It depends on the movie.
Yeah.
Like, just real quick, I had seen that. It was like way back, Bryan Cranston had came out with that Godzilla movie.
Right.
A couple years back. If I'd have seen the Godzilla movie just at the crib, just like chilling. But seeing it on the D-Box,
it enhanced your experience.
It like when Godzilla would like scream and you're in the helicopter, it would like tilt you. It was fire. So if you get the right movie, then it can make an average movie good. But yeah, Avengers Endgame didn't need D-Box. It was a 3-hour emotional roller coaster, pretty much. So
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers, of course. But if you were to rate this in comparison to the most recent one, which one's better?
So it's tough. Like you're talking about the Avengers Infinity War.
Infinity War.
So
when Thanos gets his, you know, his ring.
When Thanos
grows that final up, one.
It's weird because it's you almost have to think of the two movies almost as like part A and part B.
Okay.
Because it's almost like they're just it's
a continuation.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's like a continuation. So it's like you can't really. I would rank them together as a high, you know, 9 point something, you know, whatever.
But, and I was definitely reading. I wanted to ask you this as well. During this movie, because you're a diehard fan when it comes to all this, and I was reading other people, some people were shedding tears on certain scenarios that happened. Did you find yourself getting emotional, goosebump related during this?
Well, I did get a little choked up. And, full disclosure, I did get a little choked up. I mean, there was moments where I was like, you know.
That's what I heard.
Laughs, you had, you know, there was a couple people that were actually sobbing.
In the movie theater.
Like, there's people that were sobbing, you know, at different points in time. But, I mean, it's a crazy movie. It's just, you know, a lot of ups, downs, overs, you know. But if you're a Marvel fan at all, definitely peep it. It's, you know, it'll be worth it. You know, it kind of concludes the 22 movie series, whatever, you know. So that'll kind of conclude that part. But then, you know, we mentioned this earlier because Disney also has all these other titles.
Yeah.
There is a new Aladdin that's coming out.
With good old Will Smith.
From now on, that's how you shoot. You know, Will Smith, you know, he's legend. He's,
I don't know what it is. It's like I've seen the trailer a couple times now, and I don't know why I keep relating it to when Shaq was in Kazam. I just look at him and I'm like, oh, this is what that's going to be, but just a blue version. I'm interested to see how this is going to unfold. We were talking about this before, that the director behind this new Aladdin movie with Will Smith is actually Guy Ritchie. For those who are not familiar, Guy Ritchie directed and was the EP behind Snatch, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, Rock and Rolla, some of my favorite movies. So I'm going to see it just from him being the director behind that. But Will Smith in blue paint, I mean.
Well, so I think.
Blue face?
I was kind of like, I was kind of looking at that because I was like, is he going to be blue the entire movie? And so I think when he comes out of like the genie lamp, he's blue, but I think when he's like running around with Aladdin, like throughout the movie, I think he's just regular brown Will Smith, you know, with like a genie ponytail.
He's Wild Wild West.
Hopefully not, because that might be the worst Will Smith movie.
Hands down. And by Will Smith, you mean any movie ever by the worst movie.
Yeah, if it's Wild Wild West, I'll just end this episode out of it, peace. But yeah, no, that looks good. And then like we mentioned The Lion King. So Lion King movie, I don't know too much about it. Obviously, it's The Lion King, but I think it's real CGI, real looking.
Yeah, it has some stars in it. Yeah.
If you're going to like, you know, Busch Gardens, basically, it's like those critters just, you know, reenacting Lion King, basically. So, yeah, Disney Plus coming out.
I'll be a subscriber. I was just looking to see how much it costs. It's going to be anywhere between probably $10 a month.
Yeah, I would say about $7, I think.
All the people who are diehard fans of all those movies growing up, like all the people born in the 80s and 90s, and now these new age movies, people are going to be all about it. So I think it's, yeah. I mean, Disney, they wouldn't participate in something that wouldn't be successful. So
I would say that if you did get the Disney Plus, then you're not going to have any regrets. But then in that same breath, this story I'm about to tell you right now is going to bring you to some laughs, but it is some regret because there's, I don't know if you guys know about this out there, but there's a Snapchat filter that's basically, there's one that can turn girls into guys, and then there's one that turns guys into girls.
It's insane.
There's one that's turning guys into girls. It's obviously, it's more, I think it might have been around like a little bit longer too, but so basically what happens is you take a selfie on Snapchat, and the filter itself will adjust your features to look like the opposite gender. So what's been going on is there's been people that, you know, been guys that have been doing this filter and having fun with it. So a guy, this guy Ryan Hill, had, you know, used the Snapchat filter that made him look like a girl, took a photo of himself, and sent it to his girlfriend. And the caption that was on the Snapchat picture was, "I have your boyfriend's t-shirt on." And it had like a winky emoji or some shit like that, whatever. But it actually looks like a girl. His photo looks like a girl.
It's so unbelievable. Like, before we recorded tonight, JR showed me a photo of what this filter can do. And I can't comprehend. I mean, you think about like when people go to Thailand and they think about like a lady boy and what that looks like. This is not what this is. This is literally reinventing someone to a different gender. Like,
yeah, it's scary. I mean,
and you could even have like facial hair. Like, I have a shitty beard and a shitty mustache, and I could probably like That's what's insane about this. And we'll definitely show people the photo that we're referring to, but it's unbelievable, the transformation in this.
And yeah, so, you know, this guy basically had sent the photo to his girlfriend of himself looking as a girl and saying that I have your boyfriend's t-shirt on, whatever. And so Ryan Hill's girlfriend, I guess, got this photo and was not pleased. And then so she kind of hit him up like, you know, what the fuck's going on? Da, 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 da. And he tried to play it off. And she immediately went off. She's like, are you serious? Don't even bother coming over here. Why the fuck's another girl got your t-shirt on? You're getting blocked. Like, she starts going in. And then he finally tells like, hey, it's me. Or he says, that's me, you idiot. And she's like, aw. Aye, whatever. Like, and just dismissing him. Next thing, she's like, fuck off. Like, literally, he keeps trying to, like, go back. And then, I guess at a certain point in time, he realizes that he's made a mistake. He probably shouldn't have tried to prank her like this. Like,
yeah.
He tries to mea culpa, like, let me fix the situation. And I know they got dangerously close to breaking up, or she got dangerously close to breaking up with him, and I know she blocked him and stuff like that.
It's because the image is so striking. Like, you couldn't even fake it. Like, if you looked at it, it almost looks way better than someone photoshopping someone else's face onto their body.
And so, like, she had basically gotten to a point where she's like, it's not funny, Ryan. I don't even want to see you right now. I'll end up punching you in the face. So, literally, the filter is so convincing that it had a guy's girlfriend who she's dated him. She couldn't even tell that it was him. And I mean, this filter is outrageous. So then what's kind of been evolving with this whole filter situation kind of ties into the next thing. There is a guy that, and you can maybe touch on this a little bit more, but a guy that actually, I don't want to call it a challenge, but he basically did the same thing. He made his selfie, you know, with the girl filter, and the photo that he took, he ended up creating a Tinder profile with it.
I mean, just the whole concept of that, either you're way too bored to do something like this, or you want to just be a prankster on this. So yeah, this was one that I was reading, and I think you have another one as well that has so many connections and actual matches on Tinder. The one here is a Princeton student who his name was Sean Lee, Asian dude with a Zorro-looking mustache. And then he actually did the filtering system to look like a female and changed his name to Serena Lee and put his age at 18. And here's how dumb dudes are, right? She put her name was Serena, and her title of her fucking work is I'm the receptionist at the Dunder Mifflin paper plant. Uh-huh. So dudes easily are just like, yeah, this is real. This has to be real. And it just goes to show you like how hilarious this is across the board. So this is in New Jersey, of course. And he, if you will, definitely got several dozens of matches here. And I just want to read some of these pickup lines that all the female listeners on this, we feel bad for you. We feel bad for you in the sense that you have to go through things like this. One,
yeah, I didn't even realize that this is, I mean, this is bad. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't even think to use some of these things that they're saying.
It's like, so brutal. I mean, you think of like cheesy pickup lines, and speaking of cheese, we definitely have something to talk about in a little bit here, I think. But one of the matches said, hey, damn, are you a parking ticket? Because you have fine written all over you. And I think in your story as well, you have a couple of terrible pickup lines as well from the matches that these people are dudes, but they're changing themselves to female on the app. And then all these dudes are, of course, matching right away because they look so much like a female.
Yeah, and like just to touch real quick on the one that I saw, this was in UK. This kid, Jake. His name is Jake Askew. He's from Norwich, UK.
Shout out to Jake.
And
he probably knows 21.
21, UK. And so he set up his, you know, his Tinder profile and whatnot. He got over 1,600 likes for his profile, and he received between 300 to 400 matches. And, you know, Jake set his name to Jess, age 19, and then had University of Derby. I believe that's out in UK.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So all that stuff's all good. The pickup line that the first one that I saw, he started off, like, this guy started off and he's like, hey, hope you're all right. Hope you don't mind me, you know, making a little comment to you, but you look absolutely beautiful. And then Jake slash Jez says, is that the best you got? And the guy's like, well, and then, you know, Jake just asks, you know, what is it? And quote unquote, you cheeky bastard. And then this guy proceeds to go, sit on my face, you slut. Like, he went from 0 to 100 real quick on that one. I mean,
we just feel bad for you, ladies, in general. I mean, if you're receiving this digitally, I can only imagine what happens in public with these wild animals.
Well, there's an animal one here. So it's a wild animal one. This another match, this guy, Patty, he asked, he said, are you a beaver? Because damn. and then he follows up with, you can't spell menu without me in you. So let me eat that ass. I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, I don't even know.
And speaking of that last punchline that we just heard, that someone literally digitally was saying, hey, let me eat your ass. That definitely leads us into our next story here, that another fun Florida story talking about eating ass. So for those who don't know, a recent Florida man was actually pulled over and arrested and detained for a bumper sticker on the back of his window that said in all caps, I eat ass.
Yeah, I mean, in the photo, he's just kind of leaned against his truck, you know, by his tailgate, kind of just sitting there smiling. And it just says, it's like, I eat ass, and he's chilling.
And, of course, his name's Dylan Shane Webb. Obviously, don't trust anybody with three first names, as we've always talked about that. But this was in Jacksonville, Florida, and if you've been to Jacksonville, Florida, I have. Of course, this happened here. So Webb's feedback with the deputy was, you know, the deputy definitely say, hey, it's derogatory and you should remove that. And the deputy said, how is it not derogatory?
Or Webb said.
Yeah, Webb said, how is it derogatory? And the deputy said, how is it not derogatory? Some 10-year-old little kid in the passenger seat of his mama's car is going to look over and see, I eat ass, and ask his mom, what does it mean? And he goes, how is she going to explain that to his child? And Webb goes, that's the parent's job, not my job. I mean, if you could summarize the perfect Florida response to something like that, that is it in a nutshell right there. What would you say in that regard? Like, if your kid's sitting next to you and you drove past and they saw that and they looked up at you and said that and go, Dad, what does this mean? What are you saying there?
I think you got to try to flip that maybe. You know, maybe he's like a fisherman and the bee fell off, so it's like he normally eats bass. You know, maybe that's how you go with it. It's funny because I don't have any kids or anything. So it's like funny because, like, since I don't have any, I don't have to worry about that. But if I had, like, you know, nephews or kids or something like that, I would probably not want them to just, like, see that and then start asking me about that. It's just
no, so much. Right no, now, you'd have to pivot. I mean, that is literally the most Florida story collectively across the board. It's just really trash. And that's the people that we have in this fortunate state here. So,
I was going to say, you had that one, and that was like a true Florida story. But then we had to slip in just one more Florida story for you guys also.
This one.
So there is a Florida man that allegedly vaped his friend's semen on video. So, you know, vaping is like the new trend. It's like the new, you know, it's supposed to be healthier, supposedly, than, you know, just smoking cigarettes and whatnot. So, you know, vaping's all good and whatnot. You know, no issues with that. Except for if it's semen.
I mean, no matter how much money anyone would give me, first off, how does this even come up? Like, I understand that vaping is a big deal and everyone loves to vape and blow the bigger the smoke and they're out trying to smoke each other. But this guy did it for $68, JR. I mean, 68, like not 70, not 100.
Like, you get at least $69. I just don't get it. I mean, and so, you know, people that traditionally vape because it's giving them some nicotine or something to help them, you know, fight their cigarette addiction.
Yeah.
I don't see, I mean, is he vaping because he has like a semen addiction and he's trying to like supplant it in a more natural, healthy way? I don't get this at all. I mean, and yeah, it's a classic Florida story, I guess, but like, why?
I mean, it's so in the clip, it obviously shows him doing it. And all of his friends laughing and like high fiving as well. I'm sure he probably didn't even get his $68. I mean,
I almost just threw up.
And the thing is, like, what happens if he didn't have the $68 in cash and he has the $68 send him via Venmo? You have to have some description in Venmo to send him over. I mean, what
is that? You get a couple of emojis, like a couple tadpoles, you know, splash. And but it, like, I almost threw up just because the there's photos and this guy is chucking a massive vape cloud of jizz. Like, it's just crazy. Like, this the vape cloud is just, I can't.
So on that note, we're summarizing episode 11 here. We obviously wanted to bring you some insane stories to end this, and as always,
peace. Yep.